The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome. This is the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us this morning. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And joining us this morning, if you have not had your cup of coffee, you do not need it now. Pastor Tim Ostermeyer is here from Hope Lutheran Church in beautiful St. Anne, Missouri, right there in Mid-County, St. Louis County. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
You're wearing cardinal red today, I see.
Well, no, this is Reformation red, you know.
What's the difference? What's the difference?
That was a really good timing that the Reformation service on Sunday, all the colors were red, but I had to tell my congregation, we are not in red this morning because the Cardinals won the World Series. But anyway, go Cards! Yay!
It is a wonderful time to be a St. Louis.
And here's a great opportunity to share this. Did you know that David Fries is an LCMS Lutheran?
I've heard a rumor to that effect.
Yeah. My wife actually, during these playoffs, said, you know, I went to school with a Guy Fries at Lutheran North. And she pulls out the book and look, and we went online, and sure enough, Guy Fries, LCMS boy from Lutheran North here in St. Louis, that's his dad. So, yeah, David Fries, an LCMS Lutheran. Wouldn't you know it, that God's a Cardinal fan.
do we know which congregation he attends?
I don't know. No, I don't know at
because
all.
If you mention it, the membership may go up considerably.
Yeah, especially with young ladies, because I understand he's single, and he's had many marriage proposals.
Well, you know, Kurt Warner, after he won the first Super Bowl, that church he belonged to, the membership increased for some reason as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, yeah. Who knows? It was kind of exciting. What a World Series, huh? It was a great opportunity.
Speaking of great opportunities, what great text you have been assigned this morning? You know, we're going to talk about a Canaanite woman and healing and feeding a lot of people. But before we get to all that, we have a very special prayer request this morning that I would like you to address as we open.
We'll include that in our opening prayer. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, everlasting Father, you've revealed yourself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in knowing you as the triune God, all Scripture makes sense. We find your plan of salvation in knowing you as a triune God, a Father who loves his children and sent his Son into the world to take our place under the law, to take our place under the wrath of the law, to suffer and die in our place that we might be set free. Through the power of your Holy Spirit who comes endowing us with faith that believes in Jesus and binds us into him, marries us into Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that all our hope, all of our joy, the forgiveness of sins, the confidence we have is not on anything we've done, but all on you. Freely given, it's your grace. Grace that comes to us through faith. Faith that trusts and binds us into the life and death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. What more do we need? Only to give you thanks and praise. Fill our hearts with that thanks and praise this day and feed us by the power of your word that we may be strengthened in that bond, that faith that ties us into this great victory. We pray this morning, Almighty God, Heavenly Father, and ask your comfort on Lula Mae Ziegler, who just this morning lost her husband, Melvin. Faithful they were. Faithful she remains by the power of your Holy Spirit. Comfort her and others that mourn with the certain hope of the resurrection unto eternal life that is all of ours through faith in Christ Jesus. Guide us, protect us, guard us this day through the power of that word that became flesh, which is Jesus. In his name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 39. That is our assigned text for this morning. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can reach us by way of email at kfuo@kfuo.org. Before we begin the text, anything we should be paying attention to?
Yeah, all of it. All of it. I mean, it's God's word.
Well, the reason I ask is this.
Well, Pastor, we're going to point out a lot of stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are ripe in here. The text we've got today is not only ripe with a lot of things that we're gonna grab along the way and talk about, but also there's opportunities in here for us to get a little carried away too, and we've got to watch out for that too. It's so ripe with things that we need to see. And that certainly God intends for us to see. But it's also at the same time, sometimes when we read the Bible, we start reading things in there that aren't there. We've got to be careful of those things too.
Beginning at verse 21, under the faith of a Canaanite woman, and Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. And let's stop at that point. This is a very uncomfortable Jesus.
Really?
This is not the Jesus my co-pilot, Jesus my buddy, Jesus my friend. This is a Jesus who seems almost rude calling this woman who's desperate for help a dog.
No, yeah, I can see what you say there.
Well,
he's pointing out something that's absolutely true. Now we will go back and we're going to start taking this apart a little bit. Yeah. Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. This is if he was on the West Coast, this would be like Seattle. You know, he's way up the coastline there. He's kind of out of a Jewish territory, and remember that, you know, he's been having some battles with the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees. He's got two things going at this point. One, he's fed the 5,000 a few chapters ago, last chapter. He's battling with these Pharisees, and he has to head off into some of these Gentile lands to let things cool down. Two things he's got to let cool down. One, he doesn't want the people rallying to make him king. And the people are really, really excited. He just fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. If you want an army that's going to overthrow Rome, this is your guy. Because one of the biggest problems today with an army, anytime we rally, it takes a while to get food and supplies there that have to continue to take care of your troops. And we've got modern transportation. What was it like then? It was a major concern. Well, this guy, you know, you can take a knapsack full of bread and fish, and he can feed thousands. And he raises the dead. The people are just ecstatic, and they want to make him king. So he has to, when they get overly excited like this, and he does these miraculous things, he's got to get off to the side. The other thing is that the Pharisees and the scribes absolutely hate him for his doctrine that rails against their work righteousness and points toward faith and repentance. So they want to kill him, and it's not time to get killed yet. He's headed that direction. He's come to suffer and die. So he from time to time, he'll go off into Samaria. This time he goes north, and he's in the areas where you don't have the Jews. You don't have the law and the prophets. The Gentiles. He's in Canaanite territory. People that aren't aware of readily who the Messiah is, the promise of the Messiah. And he wasn't really sent to these people because they don't have the law and the prophets, and they do not have the promises. And God had chosen the Jewish people for that. So he's actually kind of on sabbatical. He's on vacation. He's pulled away where he is resting him and his disciples. And as this woman follows after him, she says an unusual thing. She says, "Lord, Son of David." Now, this is a Canaanite woman. "Have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." That's the first thing that should really perk and pique our ears, is that she addresses him as Lord, which only his disciples do, Son of David, meaning the Messiah, the Christ. Now, wait a minute. What is this Canaanite woman doing calling him Lord, Son of David?
Well, see, now that is an interesting question. Is she just parroting what she's heard the disciples telling him?
Well, you might think at first, but as time goes on, the faith that she shows that's expressed here, this entire thing points elsewhere. Now, we've got a bit of a balancing act. We've got the people who have the word, the prophets and the law, who he's just left their region, and there's great contempt for what he has to say. They're not calling him Lord, Son of David. They're calling him Beelzebub.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here he is in the territory of the Gentiles, and this Canaanite woman comes up and calls him Lord, Son of David, speaks to him with the confidence that he is the Messiah, and when he challenges that, saying, you know, I didn't come for Canaanites, I came for the children of Israel, that's who I've been sent to. At first he says that to his disciples, because when they say send her away, they must mean give her what she's asking for, because that his reply is, I was sent to the children of Israel, to the lost sheep of Israel. And then when he says it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs, her faith says, that's fine, perfectly fine. Toss it or give it to the children, but their dogs eat their crumbs. Go for it, Jesus. I have no problem with that, because crumbs would be enough for me. Now, we're seeing tremendous faith. We're seeing tremendous faith from a Canaanite outside of any Jewish areas. Where did this come from? Well, the next chapter gives us the very answer from Jesus. I don't mean to jump on or step on somebody else's toes who's going to get this next week. But
oh, go ahead.
But when Peter, when Jesus says, "Who do people say I am?" Well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. Who do you say that I am? Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Man has not revealed this to you. You didn't get it from any human being. My Father in heaven revealed this to you." This woman, where else would she have gotten this? I mean, it wasn't overheard from human beings, or she would not have demonstrated the faith that even the crumbs that fall from the table, it had to come from his Father in heaven to her, a gift of faith to know that he is the Christ.
So this is like the other Gentiles that come to faith, like Uriah, like Rahab.
A gift from God, but it's no different for us. Yeah. I mean, we just came out of Reformation Sunday. What are the three great solas? Sola gratia, by grace alone, through faith alone. And faith is a gift from God. Now, these people that are persecuting him, it says in the scriptures that the Lord has struck them blind. They do. You know, if the scribes and the Pharisees saw and recognized and the Lord turned their hearts to believe in Jesus, then the Lord's will of sending Jesus to suffer and die might not have unfolded the way that he wanted it to. So he blinded them. It is the Lord's will, and it's the Lord's will in all of our lives, whether we believe or not. If you call Jesus Lord, thank God, because you're saved. That is the evidence that you're saved. He has put in your heart the Holy Spirit, opened your eyes, opened your ears. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Here is a woman who is not blind. She knows that this is She calls him Lord, Son of David, and she even recognizes he was sent to the house of Israel, and you can call me a dog, and that's great, because the dogs eat the crumbs off the table. Yeehaw! And she's ready for it, and Jesus says, wow, what faith. What faith.
That is remarkable. It's also remarkable when you consider all the smoting and smiting meted out on the Canaanites by the Israelites to approach him in the first place. Wow.
Yeah, this is a phenomenon, you know, and to speculate further than what's here, no, we can't, you know, to say, oh, you know, she's this, she's that, she's, you know, we'd be inflicting something on the text that's not there. But what we do know of faith is it is a gift from God. It is a gift from God, and this woman, a Canaanite woman, has obviously, in the midst of everybody throughout the entire regions that Jesus has preached to, this one woman in this remote area that he goes to for rest, not to do ministry, has faith and knows he is the Christ. And does not doubt. Now, the strange thing, you started this off saying, this is a pretty mean Jesus, you know, calling her a dog. This is a test of faith. And the test of faith shows that she's got an extremely strong faith. Jesus never said, I'm not going to answer your prayer. I mean, it is a prayer. When you talk to God, when you bring your petitions before God, and she's bringing them before God, it says in Scripture, Jesus teaching us to pray, say, when you pray, you should never waver, you should never doubt. And God answers our prayers, yes, no, and not yet. It's huge in Scripture. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. His timing is always perfect. And his timing here was perfect because it enabled her to make a statement and to demonstrate that faith that has been given her by the Father, placing the Spirit within her to recognize the Christ, to make a statement that is strengthening us to this day, that sometimes God does not answer our prayers right now. He's going to use the opportunity to strengthen our faith. Sometimes it's a not yet.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's take some calls, Pastor. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Titus chapter 1, around verse 12, and we'll go to Jan first. Jan, good morning. You're up first with Pastor Ostermeyer. Go ahead.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
The question that comes to my mind from Matthew 15, verse 22, I think that the Scripture's making a clear distinction between ethnicity and residence, if you will. For instance, I live in Atlanta, but that's not going to tell you what my ethnicity is. And the reason I mention that is two reasons. One, from Titus 1, how Jesus asks us to clearly draw a distinction between cultural dictates when they conflict with who he is and what following him means.
You're talking about stereotypes.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The Isaiah 43, you said something about the comparison would be she's from Seattle if we were out west, where he says, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. So our location, God is powerful enough to quicken our hearts wherever we are, right?
Sure. Now, I hope that no one misconstrued what I meant by Seattle. I didn't mean that Seattle is a heathen territory. I was just speaking geographically, that if you looked at Israel, which is on a coast like that, on the Mediterranean, where was Tyre and Sidon? Way up north there. So I was talking geographically, not that it was heathen territory like Seattle. No, not at all. I was just saying that if you looked at the coast of the Mediterranean there with Israel on it, and compared it way up there in the northern areas. But you're right. There is no stereotype. Remember that when Jesus spoke with the Samaritan woman at the well, and she said, well, we know that the Christ, the Messiah, will come and he will tell us all things. And Jesus said, I am he who you are speaking to. And so even the Samaritans, even the Canaanites, they're introduced in Scripture as people who come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, who come to know him as a Christ, and his own people, the people who have the law and the prophets, regardless of where they are geographically, many refuse. In fact, most refuse and are blind to that. This is tragic. This is tragic. But in one sense, it's comforting to those who are Gentiles, non-Jews, that the gospel and the invitation to be children of God through faith in Christ Jesus is open to all.
Yeah, well, that all is true. And you're right. It's not a stereotypical thing. But I think that a distinction needs to be made between the ethnic dictates, for instance, with the Israelites, that Titus 1 verse 14, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. You know, Jews have the oracles of God, and when God's intent was him to share that with all people, regardless of their ethnicity, not to ignore it, but to celebrate it because he's going to draw all people to him.
Absolutely. And he was. And though the Hebrew people were God's chosen instrument through which that word and those promises were maintained over centuries, the promise that goes all the way back to Genesis 3, that from the seed of the woman would come one who would crush the head of Satan, that was for all of mankind. Absolutely. Thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Let's go quickly to Bob. Bob, you are up next. Good morning. We got about a minute or so. Get your question in. If we need to, we'll answer it after the break.
Okay. Excuse me. Good morning, Roland and Pastor.
Good morning, Bob.
I hope, Pastor, that I misheard what you said when you said that God confirmed those who were going to be sent to hell and confirmed those who are going to be saved. I hope that I misheard what you said. You want to go ahead and clarify that?
I don't recall saying anything like that. Repeat what specifically what you heard me saying.
Well, you were talking about condemnation and about those who were saved and those who weren't, or who would not be saved.
Oh, okay.
And you made the comment that God was doing this, and in reality, God doesn't do that. God saves, and we are the ones who turn away.
I think you're drawing a conclusion over and against what I said, that who has revealed this to you? My Father in heaven has revealed this to you, and that faith is not our work, but faith is God's work. Yeah.
Right.
Now, that doesn't go on to say then that God has determined that this group of people I'm not going to give faith to because I'm going to send them to hell. No.
Yeah.
For God so
yeah.
loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son.
Even Pharaoh.
You bet. You
Even
bet.
Pharaoh,
if Jesus died for the sins
of his own heart, then God finally did do what he had to do to have the 10 plagues.
Absolutely. It is the Lord's will that all be saved.
That's right. Okay.
You bet. Thank you for clarifying
that.
Thank you, Bob. Always appreciate hearing from you. We'll be back after this short break. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. KFUO at KFUO.org. I'm Roland Lettner. Our guest pastor is Pastor Tim Ostermeyer of Hope in St. Ann. We'll be right back.
One of the core values of Concordia Seminary is faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Bible and the confessions of our church. Many people in America no longer believe that there is absolute truth. They say, you have your opinion, I have mine. All roads lead to heaven. But God has revealed truth. And we teach so that Concordia Seminary graduates will find winsome ways to present the truth.
Hi, I'm Gary Duncan, Director of Operations for KFUO Radio. Beginning on Monday, November 7th, you'll notice a few changes in programming here at the radio station. Now, the morning show with Paul Clayton and the rest of the morning lineup through midday will remain the same. But then Tom Baker's Long Gospel program will be moving to 1 p.m. And Roland Lettner, who will now be the host of the weekday Bible study and Ask the Pastor programs, will be pre-recording a two-hour version of Studio A, which will then be heard on Saturday afternoons from 1 until 3. We'll then have 3 hours of sacred music each weekday afternoons from 2 until 5, with a repeat of the Bible study at 5. As always, we'll continue to bring you in word and song the pure gospel of Jesus Christ as taught in Holy Scripture. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? About 30 years ago now, there was much publishing being done by many denominations. They were all publishing new hymnals. These hymnals were the pioneers for another generation of new hymnals published by these same denominations in recent years. One of the new hymns from 30 years ago was a processional anthem titled Lift High the Cross. Here is one of the stanzas from that hymn. O Lord, once lifted on the glorious tree, raise us and let us thy cross the magnet be. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. The idea of the cross of Christ being a magnet, drawing us all to the Heavenly Father, is an idea very similar to the image St. Paul employed to describe Christian discipleship. In his letter to the Philippians, the apostle compared maturity to a race. Here's how he put it. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let all of those who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. The Greek word St. Paul uses to explain the race all tell us that the grasping of the prize and the attaining of the goal is nothing that we do for ourselves. The apostle makes it very clear that it is God, in fact, grasping us, and that our running is being done as we are pulled along toward the goal. It's like a magnet. When St. Paul appeals, let us hold true to what we have attained, he is telling us not to let go of the hand that is holding ours. Or as the gospel hymn puts it, put your hand in the hand of the man who stills the waters. Let's pray. Lord, send us your Spirit, we pray, not just to start us off on the race that leads to heaven, but to hold us by the hand as we are led to the goal you have set out for us. For we pray in the name of Jesus our Savior, who has won for us what we could not ever hope to attain for ourselves. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome back. This is the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Our guest pastor this morning is Pastor Tim Ostermeyer from Hope Lutheran Church in St. Ann, Missouri, joining us as that really wonderful, refreshing, invigorating cup of coffee, like I said. you have an energy, my friend, that I wish I had on most days.
Nah.
Well, you put up a good show.
I walk out of here and sleep in my car, you know. Yeah.
Well, while you are
this
here.
This is fear, you know.
It's fear.
Yeah, yeah. See, when you come in and do live radio like this, it's like going skydiving. Your adrenaline just pumps. It stands wide open. That's why I say I walk out, I just fall on the sidewalk, and I lay there. They drag me away.
Imagine how I feel after 8 hours.
I think you don't fear it anymore.
No. Actually, it's a great deal of fun, and we enjoy hearing from our callers like Jan and Bob. You can join us this morning, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. If you're listening to us by way of stream anywhere in the world, at our website, KFUO.org, you can write to us and we'll get your question right up, barring any translation necessary if you're coming from some very far and distant part of the world, but we will do our best to get those up. Before we depart from this scene with the Canaanite woman and we go to the next portions of the text, when I asked you right off the bat, what do we want to pay attention to, you said everything. Have we covered everything? Have we left anything out yet?
You know, we only have an hour show. You know, could we go deeper into this? Could we talk about faith? Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter, pardon me, her daughter was healed that very hour. The crumbs are enough. And the key in this that calls him Lord, that recognizes him as the Messiah, the Savior, that draws her to him and continues to plead. What keeps her continuing to follow when he doesn't answer her? Because the time isn't there yet. Not that the Lord is unwilling, but the Lord's timing is always correct. What continues to keep her pleading? What is it that even when he replies and says he was not sent except to the children of the house of Israel, it's not right to toss their bread to the dogs. What keeps her still pleading and confident and is faith. It is faith. And
so it's not her persistence. It's not the fact that she is completely helpless, no one left to turn
to. Well, the persistence is faith. This is faith. And if you see this woman and there's a desire to have faith like that, to pray like that, to wait on the Lord like that, to have confidence in the Lord. It says in Scripture, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. Well, you're hearing the word of Christ this morning. You're listening to it. This radio station is a great opportunity to be fed with the words of Christ that strengthen and introduce and fortify us in faith. But you can read your scriptures on your own. Go to Bible studies. Come to a church that is centered in God's word and recognizes feeding God's people with those words of eternal life. The Gospel of John begins in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made through him. You jump down to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is that Word. And that Word, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. Spend time in your scriptures, folks. Man does not live by bread alone, but what? On every word that comes out of the mouth of God, and that came out of Jesus' mouth. So this is just a wonderful, wonderful story here of an admirable faith. An admirable faith, and God feeds us and strengthens our faith through his word and his sacraments. So turn to that word that your faith may be strengthened, that you may have an appetite not only for God's word, but a desire that your faith may grow and be strong, that in the face of God telling you not yet and wait, that you'll be persistent and confident, and that you will not waver, that you trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, who has suffered and died for you. Therefore, if the Father's given you that, why would he not give you all things in him? There's a brief synopsis. Like I say, we don't have more time. We've got 20 minutes, and we've got another fabulous portion of this chapter to go to.
We have all the time in the world, trust me. Before we go to our next caller, three elements in this part of the text. We have Jesus, we have the Canaanite woman, but we haven't talked about the disciples very much. I think we just made brief mention of them. What is it about the disciples where they're always trying to chase people away from Jesus? You know, earlier in chapter 14 with the feeding, you know, the multitude, it would make them go away.
Well, we're going to see that coming up here with the feeding of the 4,000 because, you know, they just don't seem to ever get it. You know, it's and what an encouragement to us too, who most of the time don't get it either. So, we spend most of our time not getting it. They're with Jesus for 3 years. They see things one after the other, and even when similar situations come about, what happens? They still don't get it. What's great is that in spite of ourselves, and that's perhaps the lesson we get from the disciples, in spite of ourselves, God has continued to keep us as his children. Jesus is still Lord and Savior. And that faith we spoke of earlier that enables us to call Jesus Lord is ours. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Well, yeah, I believe Jesus is my Savior. Well, you're saved. You're one of his. Really? Yeah, in spite of yourself. In spite of your continuous sinfulness, in spite of how blind we are and how dumb we are about things and how we too often say or do the wrong thing, there we go. We're still saved. The Lord is still with us. We are still his disciples because he's chosen us in the waters of baptism. He's chosen us through the power of his gospel. He's placed his Holy Spirit in us, enabling us to see Jesus and to know him as Lord and Savior. And in that, we are saved.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to remember on the fly here. But we have the centurion who is credited with great faith. We have this Canaanite woman who's credited. I don't recall anyone in Israel being credited as having great faith.
You're right. It seems that the ones that really stand out that Jesus said, you've got that Roman centurion and this woman who Jesus said such great faith, the centurion, such great faith I've not seen in all of Israel. the why would God do this? I don't know. There's what I was talking about, where sometimes we can start going beyond what the scriptures say there, except why God would put this in here. Certainly encourages those who are not Hebrews that and salvation that comes through faith is God's will to be not just isolated to, our one caller said, one group ethnically or another or geographically. No, it's God's will, and he says this in Scripture, that all humans be saved. And for God so loved the world. And we're seeing there that in Jesus' own day there, that great faith that trusts and believes in Jesus as Lord and Savior and turns to him is being demonstrated by people other than the Hebrews.
And another great demonstration of faith is waiting patiently on hold to ask your question on the Bible study. Rick, you're up next. Good morning.
Well, thank you for taking the call. And you certainly hit the nail right on the head. In spite of ourselves, we are kept by God's grace and mercy alone. But explain this one to me. Jesus tells the disciples a number of times. Paul tells the Philippians, unto you it has been granted. Why hasn't it been granted to everyone to believe?
Well, it is. Well, you're looking at it a question.
Peter talks about people being prepared for destruction. And I don't I can't make a connection.
There's a that just shows that you're a theologian. When you ask such a question, it means that you've really, really pondered what's going on in Scripture. What do we have in Scripture? Clearly, it says in Scripture that it is God's will that all be saved.
Amen.
It says in John 3:16, for God so loved not just some people, not just the people in Seattle, not just the people in certain regions, not just the Jews or this person or that person. No, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So it is God's will. It says elsewhere that God takes no delight in the death of the wicked, but rather that they would turn from their wickedness and be saved. It is God's will that every last human being be saved. And we know that we cannot by our own reason and strength believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ or come to him, that it is his move. Jesus said in John chapter 15, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. So it is God who comes to us. That flies in the face of a myth today called decision theology, where we decide to make Jesus our personal Lord and Savior. No, it says in Scripture you would never do that, that the cross of Jesus is foolishness apart from God choosing you first and giving you the Holy Spirit and faith. So it's 100% God's move that we are saved. Then why is anyone lost? And that's that question has been around so long that there's even a Latin line for it, cur ali ali non, which means why some and some not. Why are some saved and some are not if it is all God's will? And that's called, there's another Latin term for it, the crux theologorum, which means the cross of the theologian. We don't have an answer. There have been people who have set out to answer that question. And in order to come up with an answer, you have to deny what it says in Scripture. You have to refute something that's said in Scripture. There are those who say, well, God did choose, as our previous caller, I think Bob was his name, called in, thinking that I was saying, yes, God has chosen some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. He'll give some faith, and others, he won't give faith because they're destined for hell. That's called double predestination, and that's not true because we've just talked about that. God so loved the world, the whole world. And it is God's will that the wicked turn from their wickedness and be saved. It is God's will that all men be saved. And yet, why aren't they saved? We don't know. Jesus stood over Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you into my arms like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. So we know that if we're lost, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. 100% it's our fault if we're lost, and yet if we're saved, God gets 100% of all of the credit. And you say, well, wait, you can't have 200% there. It's got to be an 80-20. It's got to be a 90-10. No, it's 100% God's credit and glory when we're saved. It's 100% our own fault if we're lost. And that gives us a conundrum. That gives us a problem. And that's the cross of the theologians. As theologians, and I commend you for actually getting to that point, that means that you've really, really theologically looked at the Scriptures and studied this, and as a result, come to this question. And it is the crux theologorum, the cross of the theologians. We must bear it. When we reach heaven, when we reach the presence of God, then we'll see. We'll see how all this worked. At this point, it's a gray, dark area that we, and the only thing that I could add to it is to why God would leave us kind of in this gray area, because if he revealed to us the method to his madness, as you might say, though I'm not saying he's mad at this, but it wouldn't benefit us, it would hurt us. Because what it would do is probably empower the sinner in us, not strengthen the saint in us. And as a result, the Lord has deliberately kept us in the dark, so we don't see His wisdom and how it's working in this. So it's a cross we have to bear. It's a cross we have to bear. We know faith comes by hearing, so we need to proclaim the message of reconciliation, the gospel that Jesus Christ died for all the world, to all the world, trusting that the Holy Spirit works through that message, and knowing it's God's will that all be saved. Why are some lost? Don't know. Don't know. We won't know this side of heaven.
Rick, thank you for the call. Excuse me. That is one of the great gifts of the Lutheran Reformation. You know, Luther taught us how to dance in the paradox. You know, like Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the way Lutherans deal with paradox. You just let it be.
Yeah, and what's really important here is that we don't add anything to Scripture or take anything away from Scripture. And in this regard, we have to humble ourselves before the Word of God in order to say, well, that doesn't muster with my reason. I'm sorry, my reason has to fall beneath God's Word. God's Word must, if it humbles me, because there are things in it that go beyond what my brain can wrap around, so be it. I have to humble my reason and my emotions and all of my intellect to the Word of God. Here's another one. God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, that doesn't muster through my reason. I'm going to reject it. No, we have to humble ourselves before the fact that God is one God and three distinct persons. No, it doesn't filter my reason. I can't wrap my brain around that. I have to humble myself before that and wait until heaven and the new heavens and the new earth to actually then perceive God as He is and to know Him. Otherwise, it's beyond even God's love. Why would God love us? Why would he sacrifice His Son for sinners that are vile in His very presence? Why wouldn't He just grind us under His heel and create a whole new world with a bunch of people that don't turn against Him and don't continue to do vile things in His presence? That doesn't make any sense either. If we were God, we wouldn't do this. It doesn't pass our reason. So we must humble ourselves before what God's Word says. And as God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways and my thoughts are as high above yours as the heavens are above the earth. So therefore, we need to spend a lot of time in God's Word, because our own reason, our own thoughts, they're not going to reveal to us what God would do or how God does things. We need to spend time in the Scriptures and come to know and understand and humble ourselves before God's way of thinking, God's way of doing, and God's grace.
Well, you have struck a nerve here, Pastor. The board is completely lit up. Let's go to our next one.
Oh, we're all out of time.
No, no, no. Still plenty of time. Ed is up next. Go ahead. You have a question about why isn't everyone saved?
Oh, I was just, first of all, good morning, Roland, and good morning, Pastor. I was just wondering about the conflict about that. I think St. John in the first chapter reveals that very well, as best as I can understand it, that the light came into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. It's not that there's not enough light. It's just that men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because it reveals their deeds. And those of us who've been redeemed by God, we're told time and time again in the Scriptures to renew our minds to the Word of God. And, you know, like you were saying, it is impossible to understand what our Creator has done for us. Here we are, the created, trying to understand the Creator, and it's an oxymoron. That's all you can say about it.
All right, Bob, thanks. Ed, sorry. Thanks.
Yeah, what we do is we humble ourselves before God's Word, and that Word comes to us and promises us salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That Word comes to us, and delivers the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us faith in Christ Jesus. And as we look out onto a world and we say, wait a minute, why are some saved and others not saved? Could it be that they've not heard that word? And we who have that word, should we not have an urgency in our hearts to proclaim it and to share it, to share that Jesus with the world around us? God has given us the message of reconciliation, and the resurrected Christ said, go, preach, make disciples of all nations, baptizing, teaching all I've taught you to observe. Preaching, teaching, declaring the message of reconciliation. And if there are people who are not saved because they've not considered an antidote to sin, death, and the devil, why would some people die if we have an antidote to some pandemic disease? Well, they didn't get the antidote. Whose fault is that? Well, if I've got it and I haven't shared it, is it God's fault or my fault? The guilt isn't on God. He sent his son into the world, and he's freely given that salvation through the gospel. Perhaps the gospel's not being shared. Perhaps we don't have a concern for our fellow man like we should, or a panic or an urgency over their eternal life. That in itself may really strike at our hearts and start turning the guilt away from putting it on God and putting it more on man.
Let's take another call. Linda, good morning. You're up next.
Good morning. Well, I was just simply going to mention again, too, was, for instance, in the Old Testament, where he's speaking to the Jews in Isaiah, like Isaiah 42:6, Israel a light for the Gentiles, which it, and then in 49:6, I will make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth, which would be the, like the Great Commission, would it not?
Absolutely.
And then like in verse 22 of Isaiah 49, see, I will beckon to the Gentiles. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders and so forth. Anyway, it's to all.
And you're absolutely right that he said, I will make you a light to the Gentiles. And I'll invite anybody to call in who became a Christian because an angel came from heaven and baptized them, or an angel, I mean a real angel from heaven, not a human being, came and preached the gospel in their ears. No, it was a human being, somebody who was born into sin and condemnation, who was either baptized or taught by another redeemed human being. That's who brought you to faith through the word and the sacraments. And this is God's way of doing things, that through redeemed sinners, he brings that salvation through that preaching of that gospel, the faith that comes by hearing, the hearing of that God so loved the world, he sent his son to suffer and die for the sins of the world, through the baptisms that are performed by condemned sinners who've been redeemed in the blood of Jesus. It's God's promise of salvation, that antidote that's delivered, not by angels, but by you. By you. You who have the words of eternal life, you who have the gospel, share it with your kids, share it with your spouses, share it with your neighbors, share it with the people you work with. That's how we move closer as a people in a world that is full of those who are dying and condemned to God's will being done, that all men be saved. That gospel that's shared from one redeemed sinner to the next.
Pastor Tim Ostermeyer has been our guest this morning on the Bible study here on KFUO Radio.
And Roland Lettner has been our host. Yes, indeed.
Well, that's because I was around this morning, I guess. Anyway, thank you so much, my friend. Hey, I will say this, Bob and Bill, you can stay on hold if you like and continue your question over into the Ask the Pastor portion of the program with Paul Clayton. His guest pastor will be Dave Andrus, Pastor Andrus from Lutheran Blind Mission. And again, my friend, thank you, Pastor Ostermeyer.
And thank you, Roland.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Study on KFUO Radio, underwritten exclusively by Concordia Seminary St. Louis, now featuring online learning through iTunes U. Visit csl.edu for more information about Concordia Seminary. Stay tuned. Ask the Pastor, coming up next, Hour 2 of the Bible Study on KFUO Radio.